4 TFW Mobile. Good to hear you this morning. How's the back doing?
Every day is better than the day before so far, so I've managed to follow the doctor's orders well enough to not have too many bad days.
Doing pretty good. Uneventful so far, just the way I like it.
And no news is good news, I guess, right?
Things at work are just steady, you know, not wide open and not slow.
Right now, because we have some new products we're working on and we're getting all the regulatory documentation together for it, so that's always a big push, but yeah, things are steady for us too, you know, just keeping on going.
Well, that the tariffs ain't hurting you too bad yet?
You know, it's just, you know, every day is a new rule or a change or a new thing or something canceled or something delayed or something new. I mean, we can't, it's like playing a game of whack-a-mole, so you know, it's hard to deal with, but, you know, we're getting by.
Problem is scheduling. The people that schedule the shipments of the tanker trucks, and they'll have you, you know, loading three or four tankers out of the same spot in a day, and it's like, yeah, that ain't happening.
That's only getting more complex, you know, because there's always these, you know, he has a new tariff, and then everybody screams, so there's all these, like, weird, you know, narrow carve-outs, and then he delays, and then he puts new ones in, and it's just, you know, it's a moving target, and, you know, I just can't deal with it.
Yeah, third party for all of our accounts payable and all kinds of stuff like that, and it's, what a nightmare. Those people are so slow. Christmas comes sooner. Company called Tech Mahindra.
I think Courtney, they started using Paycom at their place. She likes it.
The branch that I have to deal with is out of Brazil, Rio de Janeiro, and the people are all Indian.
You know, Paycom is basically just software that they actually do it all in-house still, but they use this Paycom software to make accounts payable a lot easier. So, you know, she's been happy with it so far, and they've, you know, she's kind of trying to been automating a lot of their accounting stuff. So, you know, using Paycom and Blackline and all these other software packages to try to automate their financial close and accounts payable, accounts receivable, all that seems to work pretty good, and they can keep it all in-house.
We use SAP. I mean, we have for years and that, and it does a good job, but just I think the people are still using our SAP. They just outsourced all the labor.
Because, you know, an ERP like SAP is very expensive to begin with, and it's supposed to automate all that stuff. So, like, what is there for, you know, human labor to do once you get it set up right? It sounds like somebody just didn't know how to set it up right, and now so they're just outsourcing it. Now it's just to pay every month.
Calling it trying to save money, I guess. They let a bunch of people go, and that where it's like in those fields. So, I don't know. I think it's the higher-ups are trying to show some improvement so they can move on to some other place.
So, what you got planned this weekend?
We're down to Anderson. Last weekend, I went and picked up a bunch of furniture from over in Georgia from Susan's aunt. Now I got we swapped out some rooms, so now I got to take some bedroom furniture down to Anderson to the son's house. But I had a line on a trailer, my brother-in-law's trailer, but he's out of town and it's locked up, so I got to line me up a trailer to move some stuff. Moving furniture's got me wore out because, I did that on Saturday and offloaded it all into the garage, and then Sunday we took all the furniture from the upstairs bedroom down to the garage, and then took the new stuff upstairs, and that, and it's like, man, it's just got me wore out.
I'm kind of glad I'm not allowed to right now.
That, but the hand trucks I borrowed from work, they were like, regular moving hand trucks, but it had an extra bracket you could kick out, and it'd give you some extra wheels so that it would sit there on a 45 degree angle by itself, and you could just roll stuff around. It made it a lot easier.
But they have like that extra set of swivel wheels that that you, when you lean it back, the swivel wheels, and then you can turn it real easy and everything. Yeah, I've seen those.
They're amazing, especially since the furniture I was getting was up on the third floor of a house. But fortunately, they had an elevator.
Yeah, I can't. Moving stuff up and downstairs is the worst. You know, we've got this old range downstairs in our basement. And it's not even heavy, it's just big and bulky. And there's I don't know how they got it into the house. We've been trying to figure out how to get it out. And I think what we're going to have to do is just, take the exterior door of the basement off the hinges so this thing can maybe barely fit through, and just take it through the outside, because they definitely didn't get it down the stairs.
I've had to take doors off of refrigerators just to get them into the house.
Delivered our new fridge, they had to pull the doors off. Well, they had to open them, and when the doors opened, they were able to get the door through first, and then, shimmy the rest of the refrigerator through. But yeah, and we have a 36-inch entry door, but this refrigerator was too deep for it.
I wonder what the refrigerator manufacturer was thinking in, when he kind of limits yourself to how many people can buy it if they don't have a door that's wide enough, right?
Yeah, thinking. I guess they sized it to where they can just get into the house if you do all these weird things, and I guess that's good enough for them.
My bad spot. KN4 TFW.
So am I. In a second, I just crossed the Packolet, and I'm coming up on the train bridge, and once I get past that, I'll be able to hear again. Like right before Gossett, headed southbound, where you cross the Packolet River and then you go under this train bridge, and it's not until you can crest that hill that you can really hear this repeater again.
Okay, what are you talking about? I got a little spot right here by the 66 that when you're crossing that little river, it sometimes it's hard to hear. 29 and Highway 80, north side of Greer.
Heard it. It hit me. I'm not paying attention to what they were doing.
They like to cut in front of you when the little side mirror says you've cleared. They just go ahead and get on over.
Thing that'll set off that mirror indicator in a car, even if it's cleared.
Try to idiot-proof it. The worst things get.
Well, here, cars won't even have steering wheels anymore. They'll all be self-driving, and then it'll be real fun. But on my shack this week, I got a new antenna that I can put up on the roof of the house. It's a tri-band vertical. I used to have a dual band for 2 meters and 70 centimeters, but I got one that had 6 meters as well. And I wanted the vertical pole so I could better get into repeaters and into windlink nodes, and it works way better, so I'm real happy with it. So I've been kind of rearranging my shack and getting some more capability set up for VHF, UHF, and 6 meters. And so now I've got two HF radios and two VHF, UHF radios. One of the HF radios is sharing that tri-bander with the two VU radios, and then I've got my other HF radio for my dipole. So getting a little bit more set up there.
You done much on the magic band?
And I went through a repeater book and started going down the list, and if I could get into the repeater and it was quieting well enough, I'd put it in the memory of the radio I've got plugged into it. So I've got probably 3 or 4 6-meter repeaters that I can hit from my house, and there's one windlink node on 6 meters out near Hendersonville that I can get into pretty easily. And, working on seeing what I can do on 6 meters.
Contacts on 6 meters, but that's it. And I haven't done any repeater stuff yet. I haven't, delved into it and programmed or anything, so. But, hey, did MFJ close up? I've been seeing some people post some stuff about MFJ.
And stopped manufacturing new products about a year and a half ago. They're still open to service warranty and repair for the time being, but I think the owner, I mean, he's like 85 years old, and I think he just doesn't want to do it anymore. I think he maybe pursued selling the company and nobody wanted it, so I guess he decided to just shut it down. And I think it's going to remain open, you know, to honor warranties and stuff until, you know, it's all, everything's out of warranty. But, yeah, they're done.
Dad, I wondered what the deal was.
Churchron is a good amplifier, but, yeah, no longer being made.
I'm just buying everything from the manufacturer.
It is, but, you know, DX Engineering and Ham Radio Outlet are still very big, and they're still very good. I got my ACOM amplifier through Ham Radio Outlet, and I got my TS-590SG through Ham Radio Outlet, and I got a whole bunch of stuff through DX Engineering, and they're both fantastic companies to deal with, so I think they'll both be around for a while.
Things from HRO, and a few things from MFJ before they went under. But I don't think I bought anything from DX.
It's run by the guy who owns Summit Racing. So, like, whenever you order stuff from them, the shipping notice is from Summit Racing. You know, because they do, you know, do car parts and stuff too. But, yeah, they're a good outfit. Their prices are good. And, they're, you know, things are just as available as HRO. And they can usually be, like, a little tiny bit cheaper because they don't have, you know, 40 retail stores they're trying to maintain. They're just out of one location in Ohio somewhere. So, good company, though. It's over in Alabama.
I forgot about that. I think I bought a few things from there.
HD's from them.
8 degrees and the sun isn't even up yet.
80 in my car.
Started out.
Oh, dude, I'm reading 80 degrees. Do you like this weekend?
Don't, but I thought maybe there was like a 50 or 60% chance of thunderstorms, but I didn't really pay that much attention to it. I don't. You're better off just walking outside and seeing what it is.
All that. These three cars cut in front of me, and I actually had to use my horn, swerve into the shoulder.
They don't pay any attention anymore. They just do their own thing.
That's ramp, and these cars were merging in behind these tractor trailers, and they just couldn't wait to get out from behind the tractor trailer, so they just, like, run right into me.
Their mirrors said they were clear, right? Merging on, you're supposed to technically establish lane before you switch into another lane, right?
You're not supposed to drive like an asshole.
I know that's right. KN4TFW.
W2JKT. This morning.
It was, I don't know about Andrew. He said he might be on here this morning, but if he's driving his truck, he'll be on. If he's on his car, he won't be on. And Anthony, I think it was his time off. Leon worked the other day, so I don't think he's working. And I hadn't heard Patrick all week.
Just sleeping in.
And I figured he was pulling an Andrew.
Think of July, not July 4th. We've already had that. Labor Day, that's the next one. I was thinking about taking the week of Labor Day off and just trying to get used to sleeping in.
About taking it off and maybe going to the mountains, going up to Cherokee or something. But I'm off the last of last week of this month and the 1st of August, taking the granddaughter back down to Hunting Island.
I take tomorrow off and just have a day to sit at home and play radios.
In a while, I hadn't been on HF, and man, it's been a long while. I don't know why, I just kind of lost interest. I guess sometimes dealing with the 1500 waters is a pain in the ass.
Digital stuff. I've been having a lot of great fun with new digital stuff the last few weeks. Just, you know, I have an amplifier. But I think the technical aspect of all the digital stuff is more interesting to me than just, you know, drag chewing with people on phone.
And I just like to be able to, you know, hear your voice and talk to you for a minute or whatever. And I've done some digital, and it's pretty good. But and I just like to do phone, you know, help people when they're contesting or whatever. But sometimes you're trying to get a distant station, and there's people that are just rude and, you know, running full legal watts, and then when they finally make contact with them, it's like, hey, yeah, this is the 20th time I've talked to you. And it's like, yeah, why don't you just let some of us talk to them?
A lot, too. I'll get on phone sometimes. Mainly, I look for POTA stations. And I may go out this weekend with one of the guys in the club here to do a POTA activation at Kings Mountain. It's kind of fun. It sounds like it's a fun thing to do. I like getting out and setting up, you know, the ad hoc ham station with a battery and a portable antenna, whatever. So I might get out and try to do that this weekend.
Some POTA stations, and then I think I'm up to about right at 400 contacts. I got a couple of little certificates that they give out for different contacts.
Yeah, there's something, some kind of interference here at exit 63.
In POTA contacts, I think I'm up to about 400 contacts in POTA.
I don't really log mine when I'm hunting, and just, you know, because you don't really have to. But I don't keep very many logs of my operations. I just, you know, I operate, and you know, I know that I did it, so I don't really write it down.
Did when I go to the POTA site, you know what I mean? I can see. I got several certificates from, you know, this many contacts and 100 contacts, 200 contacts, and that, because when they log it, then it gives me, you know, it gives me a credit.
Yeah, I might have to log in. I think I have an account at the POTA website, so I might have to log in and see how many people have logged me on there.
Did you contact and logged you?
I'll have to check that out. A TS-480HX a while ago, which is a 200-watt HF radio, and my buddy pole can handle 300 watts, so that's not a bad high-power setup. I mean, 200 watts is really only, I don't know, let's see, 2, 4, 8, 16, so 369 dB down from full legal limit, which is like 1.5 S units down from legal limit, so that's not too bad. 200 watts can probably do a lot.
More than enough. I mean, my 100 watt gets the job done. The only problem is, like, it's hard to break a pile up, you know what I mean, when people are running, you know, 500 or 600 watts.
Actually, for some of these big contests, you know, people are running a whole lot more than 500 or 600. And, you know, I've heard some stations that were, I mean, very clearly running way over legal limit. And ACOM even sells equipment to let you do that. They have a thing where you can gang together three of their legal limit amplifiers with a power combiner and do 4,500 watts output. I mean, that's kind of nuts.
I just don't understand it. I mean, it just makes you louder. It drowns out everybody around. You know what I mean? And somebody tries to get back to you and they're only running 50 or 60 watts, they may not even be able to get back to you. I like just running what I need to run to get the job done.
I think a lot of people just take contesting and stuff a little too seriously, and just, you know, they want to win too much, and they'll spend the money to do it.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. I was just flipping through Facebook this morning. I saw a picture like of an army jeep where they have the antenna, you know, folded down and hooked onto the thing. But I guess I didn't never think about it. But I guess that's so you could do NVIS with it folded over like that.
And also just having your dipole close to the ground. You know, like if you have a dipole close to the ground, it'll have a pretty high radiation angle. I know with my OCFD, it's only about 25 feet off the ground in the middle. So, you know, I can work some pretty close-in stations on 80 meters. And I just, you know, it's a little long for 80 meters, so my SWR is not that great. But I can still work some stations close-in on 80 meters. It works pretty well.
My HF rig, make sure it still works. Need to get me a little screwdriver antenna or something so that I can carry it with me when I go camping. But usually I'm doing something else, you know, I'm with the grandkids or doing something. So I don't really have a lot of time for that.
for my car, but, you know, I don't think I would really, I mean, if I really got into doing POTA activations, you know, it would be nice to have just an HF radio sitting here in my car with the screwdriver so I can just go park and operate from the car. I mean, I know that defeats part of the purpose of getting out into nature and stuff, but it would be easy to, you know, run out, activate real quick when I don't have a whole lot of time and then go back home.
Operator out of Canada, he does that. He's got a screwdriver on the side of his car, and he's made, I think he's done all counties in the U.S. and everything. He's done a lot of stuff.
Do all the counties in the U.S. I mean, I imagine that would take some time.
And pulling a trailer, and he's dragging something because it's sparking like heck.
What hit the ground?
Looks like maybe a chain that's off of one of the ramps or something, because sparks are more behind the trailer.
We'll have a grounding chain that dangles and you know, keeps the static electricity from building up. I've seen that on ambulances a lot. They'll be dragging a chain. You'll see them sparking and everything, but that's to keep the static blood off the ground.
For all the electronics they're using, KN4 TSW.
Oh, because they have some equipment on there that's probably sensitive to it. And also, you know, when you're bringing a patient off of an ambulance, you don't want a static discharge to shock them or something.
What about that?
For the weekend, I think I will take tomorrow off. This is next week. I think I'm going to start going back into the office 3 days because my back is starting to feel, you know, good enough to do that. So I'll have one last party tomorrow at home, just chilling by myself. And then back at work 3 days next week. Sore when I wake up in the morning, and you know, if I do too much during the day, it'll be sore when I go to bed at night, just from doing too much. But you know, I'm able to do more and more every day. You know, I'm still not lifting anything because I'm trying to, you know, obey the doctor and keep it at 10 pounds. But I've probably done more than that a few times, and it hasn't really hurt.
Man, the guy just flying up behind me, past me, and then shot off the exit right in front of me.
Yeah. I walked almost 8 miles on Sunday, and it was definitely too much, and it hurt for a couple days after that. But I'm going to get out and try to walk 5 this weekend, because I think I can do 5 miles without, you know, aggravating it too much. And, you know, and just try to get that mileage back up to where, you know, because we used to walk like 10, 11, 12 miles on a weekend. And I'd like to get back there, and then, you know, maybe a few more months I can start running again.
Okay. Me too. I'm rolling down to the gate, so I'm going to have to say 7-3. You have an awesome day. Hope the back gets better and better every day, and you have a, I'll get to talk to you tomorrow. Tell Miss Courtney we said hey. KN4 TFW.
Talking to you today. Thanks for the chat, and I will definitely tell Courtney you all said hey, and give my regards to your fam. And yeah, maybe I'll if you got some time this weekend, we can play around with Magic Band a little bit. But anyway, have a great day and be safe. This is W2JKT 73.